We're going to talk again about Russia, Israel, and prophecy this morning. And so if you'd open with me to Jeremiah 31. And I feel it's significant. We talked about Gog and Magog the other day. And I found it interesting what I was studying, so I continued to study. And it's opened up a little bit more. So I wanted to move in that direction to see what we could place more. And I want to do a little background on it because the sequence of events, I think, really just should reinstill faith because of seeing what God said He was going to do and has done. And if He said He's what He's going to do and has done, then He will continue to do. So there's Jeremiah 31, let's start at verse 8. God speaking of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31, 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country. Let's pause right there. We emphasized this last time. If you put a pin on Israel and go directly north, you bang Moscow. And so the north country is Russia. I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. That same word ransom there is our goel, like a kinsman redeemer, that kind of ransom. We'll pause. Well, let's go on just a little bit. Now, verse 28. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll just bring glory to yourself, make yourself big in our eyes this morning as we see how you're the only God that can foretell what will happen and then bring it to pass. Others probe at it and guess at it, but you actually execute it, Lord. You say it and it cannot fail. It must happen. It's not like, Lord, you look into the future and say, oh, I see this is going to happen. No, you bring it to pass. You've spoken it and it must happen. And so, Lord God, we commit ourselves, the service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Welcome you all to be with us this morning. I see visitors with us. We're sure glad to have you here. I pray that we can move right with us this morning. We went into the subject of Gog and Magog in a previous service. So to kind of bring you up to date a little bit about that, we were making a comparison of Gog and Magog out of the book of Revelations, because there is a battle of Gog and Magog at the end of the millennium. And they go in and try to take Israel. But we find in the prophets of the Old Testament that Gog and Magog is mentioned there and described. We'll get into that in a moment. And described, but there is another attack by Russia and some of her allies on Israel. And I had placed it, the last time we talked about it, I was just beginning to study the subject matter, and I could see what I felt was clearly that Gog and Magog of Ezekiel was not the Gog and Magog battle of at the end of the millennium. And so I just said, it looks to me like this is the Battle of Armageddon, because I could see it came this side of the millennium. But now I don't even think it's the Battle of Armageddon. I think it's this side of the Battle of Armageddon. And so I just we'll go into it and look at it a little bit. But I kind of wanted to rejoice a while in the Word of God and see what he's said about Israel, and because part of it ties in with what's happening right now. And of course, we'll be looking at a portion of already fulfilled scripture, but yet it's happened in the lifetime of many of us, and so therefore it's current. And so I just rejoice in seeing God fulfill his word, because we believe we're part of that plan too, you know. And if he can do it for Israel, he can do it for us. Isaiah, with me now too, Isaiah. For those of you that are not familiar with my ministry, this is teaching, and it'll be slow and plodding and a lot of Bible turning. And so when Jeff comes, it's a different vein, but this is the way the Lord has put it in me. Isaiah 11. Verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Mountain in scriptural symbolism is always a kingdom. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. So now this is moving toward a millennial reign here. But there has to be a setup of that. Everything has to get ready. And so therefore, we're actually in a transition now of entering into the millennium. We're not in it. I'm not saying that. But what God is doing now is pulling a people toward the millennium. In the same way that our end time message is catching a people up in a rapture, in the same way the earth is all being set to move toward a millennial kingdom. It's all happening right in that direction. And so then verse 10 says, and in that day, So there's a season now of entering into the millennium. You remember Brother Bram said, and the seventh seal finishes the ushering in of the millennium. Ushering in. We're in the ushering in period. We're being ushered into the millennium. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. The rest is always baptism, the Holy Ghost rest, cease from your works. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, notice, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pethros and from Cush and from Elam and Shemar and Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations. That's the star of David, flag flying over Israel, sign to the nations. And shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And we'll pause right there. Verse 11 emphasized, I'm going to gather you a second time. So there's a scripture that kind of points that out very clearly there. So let's go over now to Jeremiah chapter 16. That's the very next verse towards the back of the Bible. Very next chapter. Jeremiah 16, starting at verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt. Remember, he says, I'm going to gather you a second time. The first time was Egypt. So they'll continue to talk about he's the God that delivered us from Egypt until something else takes place, and then they begin to talk about God's second deliverance. Verse 15. But no more now about Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. So here's our picture is unfolding. So we see now that his emphasis is the land of the north and all the other places. So that land of the north seems to hold a prominent spot. And hold Jeremiah. We're going to come right back to it, but go back to Psalms, David's Psalms, chapter 83, verse 17. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. So here's David, do this and do that, that man may know that you're Jehovah. And we're going to find several scriptures that tie in exactly along that same line, that God does things because he wants man to know he's God. And so we sure get a wrong picture when we want to sit back and say, oh, well, if he was really God, why would he allow this and why would he allow that? He is God. And he's doing what he wants to do, and he just will do what he wants to do. It's his will. It's his good pleasure. He's going to work it out, and we have no right to second-guess God. You know, we second-guess ourselves. We may not be flowing with the flow, but we don't second-guess God. He's got a plan, and he, God, is working it out. Now in Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now, we've read about that, of course, many times, that that's the son of David, Jesus Christ, coming to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And we find then also the promises to the overcomer, they shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. So he does his ruling through his body. Remember, Isaiah said, the government shall be on his shoulders. And the prophet emphasized, that's part of the body. So the ruling will be done by the body, and he as the head directs the rulership. Verse 6, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. You can sure tell they've got their eyes open by the time they get here. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. So there's that same sequence of events again. It won't be glorying in God, the God of Israel that brought us out of Egypt, but rather the God of Israel that delivered us from all the nations and caused them to be released in the north. Chapter 16. Still in Jeremiah. Going right back where we picked up. We read verses 14 to 15 last time. Jeremiah 16, verses 14 to 15 we read. Let's pick up at verse 16 now. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. So notice now, he's sending out fishers to look for Jews, sending out hunters to look for Jews, and I'm going to gather them all back into the land, and I've got a promise coming to him, a blessing coming to him, but first I'm going to recompense their iniquity and their sins double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. O Lord my God, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and there are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is Jehovah. So, again, that same emphasis. He's doing it for his glory, for his might. So God has promised a second deliverance. First was out of Egypt after 440 years, and now out of all countries, but emphasizing the north, which I would say maybe after 44 years, because that's when they really got locked in, was after World War II. And then now they're now here from 1947, to which was the Jews began to gather into Israel, and then 1948 it officially became a nation, and then now here we are in 1992, and so all these years they had a place to go to but could not go. Certain nations would not release them, so they were in this bondage as they were in Egypt. In Isaiah 43 now. Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Now remember, Jacob was the little shyster, Brother Branham called him, that was God's chosen, but after he'd wrestled with the angel, his name was changed. So therefore he says, I created thee, O Jacob, and he formed thee, O Israel. So converted Jacob is Israel. Or Israel is converted Jacob. So fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. I notice, remember, we talk about a kinsman redeemer before. And so to get them, the whole Egyptian army died. So he said, I paid, they were a ransom for you. You were worth more to me than them, and so they had to be sacrificed to pay for your deliverance. Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. So as we get into the battle of Gog and Magog, which is soon coming, we want to keep in mind, I'm giving men for thee, Israel. I'm causing people to lose their life for thee, Israel. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Skip down to verse 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will let it, restrain it, stop it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the powers. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Tow is a flax used for a wick in a lamp. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way, road, path, direction, in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Now, as I read this, I read a double rejoicing. I hope you are too, because God has created two people. He's created a bride for Jesus Christ, and he created Israel as a nation. And he says, you know, I am your father, but he also says, I am your husband. So God in one role is a father and a husband to Israel, but that's a creation of his, those people, but then there's a bride that's a creation of his. And they're both being formed by his word. It is the prophetic word being fulfilled that is creating a nation, and the prophetic word being fulfilled creating, forming a bride. So what's going on with them, just as much as he says, I'm God, I do these things to Israel, he's talking to us too. So that's where I just rejoice in it as I read. Verse 22 now, please. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. So both unconverted and converted is still not calling on God. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. I was listening to that the radio on the way to church this morning, and that, I can't remember his name, the black preacher down in Dallas, Texas, that's a Baptist preacher. And I like some of the things he says, and he was opening up. He says, you may think, praise God, I give my offerings to the Lord. I give offerings. He says, God's not watching what you're giving. He says, he's watching how much you got left. Yeah. 24. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Oh, I love that. I'll tell you, if you can just really get a hold of that, like Brother Branham said, it should minister such peace and rest to you that he's not watching your ups and downs. If he says, I don't count your iniquities to you, then he doesn't count your iniquities to you. But if you're genuine with God, you still want to do right. But he's saying, but for my sake, I'm not watching that. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Of course, that was Adam, and then the instructors thereafter. 28. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. Oh, blessing, blessing, what wonderful promises. Amen. So I'm sure that as the Israelis look into these things, and then if they can comprehend at all, and I'm sure they do based on what some of the things you're saying, what a wonderful thing God has done in restoring them back into their land and raising the flag of money, a government, and everything that he's doing, that there should be a rising of faith. If he's brought us this far, he can take us the rest of the way. Now, of course, the more modern Jew, they explain away everything, just like our modern Christianity does. Just explain away everything. There is no supernatural. Well, yeah, the quail that they ate at that time and coming out of Egypt, well, the quail always fly at a certain time of the year, and they just kind of explain everything away until finally there is no supernatural God, so there is no faith building. But this is God. So now, not based on happening now, but based on prophecy again, based on prophecy that we would understand, we would say, here's all the promises. He said he would gather them. Now, we know he has, but just based on prophecy. He said he would gather them, then when will he gather them? Prophecy tells us in Hosea, in a very loose framework of time, when he will gather them. Hosea. Chapter 6. Starting at verse 1. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Now, we've heard it said many times, no man has ever sought God at any time. It has always been God seeking man. It was God in the Garden of Eden saying, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And no, we may make all the testimonies about I drew to God, but you would not have drawn if God hadn't been drawing. So here we see, come, let us return unto the Lord. So at this season, it would be God putting something in the heart of the Jew. It's not of their own volition. Man is just not that way. If God doesn't draw, that's why he said over there in Isaiah, I'm going to send out fishers, I'm going to send out hunters, and I'm going to bring you in. Chapter 6, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. So we've read that already. God said, I did this, but now I'm going to do this. Verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. Now, we're taking this now as the prophetic word, whereas 2 Peter, I think it's 3:2 says, the day is as 1,000 years unto the Lord and 1,000 years as a day. So after 2 days will he revive us. So 2 days would be 2,000 years, but the time of Hosea is B.C. 780. So after 2 days, 2,000 years, so we would come up in time then from B.C. 780. In the third day, he will raise us up. So let's just jump forward to our time. We know we're about 2,000 years from Christ, and this is 780 years before. So we got 2,700 years, so 2,700 is into the third day. 2,000 would have been two. Now we're into the third day. So we're right where Isaiah is talking about. So after 2 days, in the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight, eternal life, dwelling in the presence of God. Then shall we know, if we follow on, to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. That's the same way he came to us. But when's he going to do it? Somewhere between 2,000 years from this time and 3,000 years, he's right on time. It's a big time gap, but it didn't happen another time. It happened right in that schedule. When he said it would happen, that's exactly. So we're watching now. So God has spoken as he delivered Israel from Egypt. He'll deliver this second time, Isaiah 11:11. It is to be in the same season when God shall set up an ensign for the nations, Star of David. And the outcasts of Israel will be gathered. They have been. Isaiah 43 said, I will bring thy seed from the east, gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And I think that's extremely important to see how it happened, because there had to be a tremendous crush of one particular governmental power before they just finally say, okay, go. And communism had to virtually be crushed. I was reading in another, in fact, come to think of it, I got it. I'll read it to you in just a minute to show how different minds go different ways on these things. And to the south, I'll say, keep not back, Ethiopia, Egypt. In Isaiah 49, he includes the north, the west, and the land of Sinim, which appears to be southern China. And in Jeremiah 16:15, the second deliverance is described as from the land of the north. In Jeremiah 16, he said, I'm going to recompense double for defiling the land. Recompense him double for defiling the land. And now in Ezekiel 36, let's go there. We say, now how is he going to do this? Ezekiel 36 explains it to us. Let me read this to you. I've been reading whatever since we talked about Gog and Magog, and before that and since then, I've been reading whatever magazine articles I could find on the subject. And it's very creative what the natural mind can come up with. So he's talking about God bringing the Jews out of Russia. And he says, the initiating factor of this second exodus, that is from Russia, was that the Soviet Union has no heir left. The death of her firstborn, communism, when Gorbachev arose, communism began to die. Now let's parallel this with the death of communists. The communist firstborn to the Soviets had to let him go. So the first exodus, the firstborn in Egypt died, right? To let the Jews go. So he says now their firstborn communism has to die to let it go. But communism's not dead. See, so the parallel doesn't work. It may have stepped back a little bit, but it's sure not dead. It's got a lot of work to do yet to fulfill Scripture. Okay, we're in Ezekiel 36. This is now, we've read this many, many times, but I want to touch on it again. This is the how he's going to bring them in. Verse 16. Now, let's start at verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel 36, 16. Say, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it. Now you remember we read in Jeremiah 16, I'm going to recompense double unto you for defiling the land. But they didn't describe what the defiling was, just you've defiled the land. But now here in Ezekiel 36, he's going to tell us what this defiling is. Verse 17, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. I wonder about America. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. You know that a woman was unclean at a certain time of the month and couldn't even come to the sanctuary. Wherefore, I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. They didn't stay with the promise. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen where they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, bring you into your own land, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. And keep in mind, now we've gone over this for the bride many times, but just hold your thought to Israel for just a minute. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the corn, and so on. Verse 32 first. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded of your own ways, house of Israel. 36. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places, plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. It's happened. and they shall know that I am in the Lord. In this, right now there's 4 million Jews in Israel, and of course just a handful back in 1948. Now there's 4 million of them there, and they're just flowing in from everywhere. But outside of Israel is another 15 million Jews. So there's almost 20 million, 19, 20 million Jews scattered around. Now, this Ezekiel 37, the prophecy of the dry bones, it so ties in with the direction we're going that I feel I must read it, because it enters into the prophetic. And the reason that I feel it's so important is to see that it is by prophecy that God says he's going to put life back in Israel, by prophecy. And if that's the way he puts life in Israel, that's the very same way he's going to put it in you. It's by prophecy. The fulfilled word, of the prophetic word declared, the prophetic word fulfilled brings life to Israel. The prophetic word declared, the prophetic word fulfilled brings life into a bride. But watch the sequence of events now. Chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley that was full of dry bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I haven't heard that song sang in a long time. I used to like it. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Pause just a moment now. We're going to read as we get down into these verses that the dry bones is dead Israelites, dead Jews, and the graves that they're in are the nations they've been scattered to, because life for a Jew is in the promised land. Get out of the promise, no life. Into Israel, into the land of promise. So therefore, their graves, he's gathered them now, gathered the bones, caused bone to come to bone, a shaking and a rattling and everywhere, and bone came to bone, coming back into Israel to form a body of believers there. And he says, now look, I prophesied once, and they're all gathered in there, and the sinew and the flesh and the skin covered them. There they were, but no life. That's where they are right now. See, they're a perfectly formed nation, but God has not recognized them as a nation yet, because as soon as he recognizes them as a nation, he's finished with us as Gentiles. So God has not recognized them as a nation, but they're a perfectly formed body, but the breath of life has not been poured into them yet. Takes the word of God to do that. But they've been gathered by the word, and a body has been formed by the word. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. I can just hear Brother Branham's voice saying they needed life. And he says, what did God say? Prophesy, you know. Amen. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord. excuse me, that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So that second part, he's placed them in their own land, but that spirit in them has not been there to quicken and cause the body to function as it should through the spirit of life. So we see where they're brought to, a body brought together. Now, think about what the prophet said. He says, you want to know where you are in God's timetable? He says, look at Israel. So a body's been brought together, but there's a quickening for a further manifestation. And that's exactly what's happened in the bride. A body has been gathered together. The word of God has been spoken. It's called him out of all, not nations, but denominations. And it's washed him and cleansed him and made him a pure, virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. God can't see sin through blood. So he's got a perfect body, and she's functioning, and she's like Israel's functioning. And we got some of the blessings, but the literal life of Jesus Christ, that token life, has got to come on display. And the prophet says the bride waits to see the word fully manifest through her. And the reason I emphasize that is many in the message are getting anxious, and they're not wanting to wait, and they're trying to produce something of the supernatural. Or they're going back and pulling from Pentecostal supernatural and claiming it's the thing for this. And I prefer we press on in the word, and I'm not encouraging us to be dead. Oh, I love worship. If people wanted to run the aisles or shout and scream and holler, that's wonderful with me. I love every bit of it, but I want it to come out of the word, and not because the preacher knows how to stir your emotion. We humans can be very emotional, and we are sheep, so we are leadable. We're not goats, see? So therefore, a man with a wrong motive can usually get a congregation led in a wrong way fairly quickly. When it comes to emotion, if they just feel this is pleasing to God, they'll break right loose, and if led in that way. But I'd love to lead you in that way, but by the word. I want the emotion to come out of the word, and not the second realm, the spirit realm, but out of the soul realm that we're really calling on God. So restored as a nation, the Jews are back in their own land. We're back in our own land, the full word of God. So God compares them to the dry bones. But now notice where we are now. We have come up. He's given them a promise in Ezekiel 36. I'm going to do it. And then verse 7 says, here's how I'm going to do it, and here's the way it's going to happen. But then now notice the very next thing is Ezekiel 38, which is, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog. So watching the sequence of events here, God has laid out a prophetic word. Israel, I'm going to gather you. And then he says, there's going to be some things happening. You're going to be formed into a body. The breath of life is not there yet, but it's going to come. It's going to come by the prophetic word. And then immediately, here's Gog and Magog. So let's reread Gog and Magog, because I think it's significant to us what's happening, about to happen. Now, I can't put my finger on when it's going to happen. It appears, I would guess, because of the fact that Ezekiel 37 seems to point the picture that they will have received the Spirit, then therefore the two witnesses would have to be functioning in Israel. Now, that's just my guess. We'd have to be functioning in Israel to bring the prophetic word, to bring life to the 144,000. And then in that time period, when that's going on, here comes Russia down with her forces, which we'll read about here in a moment. But the more I look at it, I do not think it's Armageddon. I'm thinking it's somewhere between the rapture and Armageddon, but it could actually fall this side of the rapture. And of course, if it does, we'll find out. But So I'm not sure on that. So far, I haven't been able to find anything I can nail it to. I did search the message, and I found where Brother Branham says it's not clear. I can't see for sure, but he said, I think it's between the rapture of the church and I think he said Armageddon there also. I can't remember right offhand now. And he placed it in between there. Let me see if I've got the quote. No, I thought I had it right on top, but I don't. Okay, so anyway, it's in there somewhere. So what's going to happen now in the light of the present, quote, new world order that our president is talking about? It's easy to envision certain things. And so let's look into it now for just a moment, and then I'll tell you my supposition as to how things are going to happen. And let's just go from there. Ezekiel 38 now, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, since I've done more reading, most of what I've read does equate Meshach with Moscow, and Tubal with Tobolsk. But I have found a couple who disagree with that. So it's apparently in not total agreement. The first two places I looked when I ministered here a week ago or whatever it was, they both clearly said that's that and that's that. So I assumed it was an established thing and I gave it to you as if that's that. But there's a couple that are debating that. They don't think that's it. But they do place them up there in Russia. That they rest on. So the principle is unchanged. Whether the city name is the same, the principle is unchanged. There was no argument on that. Verse 3. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. So many people, when they read the book of Revelation and it talks about the battle of Gog and Magog, and they figure that's two nations. But we see here that it is not that. Gog is the chief prince and Magog is the land. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. Now I want to reemphasize what I emphasized before. The prophet said communism is nothing but a tool in the hands of God for executing or passing judgment upon God-rejecting nations. So we see if God's going to put a hook in their jaws, then that becomes a tool. He's got a hold of the fish line. He can pull them in, do with them what he wants. So we see that it's God that's doing it. It is not even really the land or the leaders of the land, as we're going to see. If we read far enough, we find out God puts a thought in their mind. And so it isn't even their intention, but God has to bring to pass what he's going to bring to pass. And if you're not familiar with that, just get your Bible concordance and go back and look up Cyrus, King Cyrus, and Nebuchadnezzar, and you'll find that God called them both, pagan men, my servants, because he used them to execute judgment upon Israel in their rejection of God and turning away from God. So here we got the same principle again, but it's not Nebuchadnezzar or Cyrus this time. It's communism. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. I will bring thee forth and all thine army, describes the army. Verse 5. Persia, that's present-day Iran, and overlapping into Afghanistan. Ethiopia and Libya with them. Well, because we were almost 2 weeks between services here, it seems to me I preached this on a Wednesday, I can't remember for sure. And when we look at Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya. Now, Libya is right there in North Africa, under Gaddafi. He's the ones that our forces flew in and really, really tried to get him. That's what they were trying to do. But they missed him and destroyed a lot there. But anyway, it stopped a lot of their terrorist activity. But they have most of their weapons supplied to them have been either Russian or we'll call it smuggled for the sake of a better conscience, German equipment. And I don't know that it's been with the knowledge of the German government, because the German government denies it each time America puts the finger on them for it. So, but it's been German and Russian equipment that has been supplying Libya. Now, she's been playing low key ever since we flew in and bombed. But there is I think she would leap at the opportunity to join with a big force to get Israel, because he certainly hates Israel. And we look at Persia, present-day Iran, And she seems to be kind of coming into the limelight just a little bit. But I learned something about Persia just the other day that I didn't know. In my mind, I had lumped her right with the Arab nations and therefore kind of lumped her right in with the line of Ishmael. But Iran is not Ishmaelites. They're a different clan of people. And what caused me to research it was I read another article that said there's a move of Christianity taking place in Iran right now. And that just about blew me away. I thought, in that Muslim nation, kids of Ishmael, what do you mean? I can't hardly believe that. So I began to search around a little bit, and they are not Ishmaelites. They're another family altogether. They're Persians, which that doesn't say much, but that's separate from the Arabs. It is, so they are not an Arab nation. The Persians and the Arabs were different. So therefore, but their equipment has come from Russia. So therefore, they're closely allied with Russia. And Ethiopia, you kind of wonder what's going on there, because all you hear about Ethiopia is people starving to death and no rain and everything like that. And yet there is a League of African Nations, which I, again, and just in researching for this article, for this service, I found that this particular League of African Nations are all anti-Israel, and Ethiopia is one of them. And somehow the Israeli government got the Ethiopian government to say, I give you permission to get these Jews out of here. You remember when they had that big Operation Solomon, yeah, Operation Solomon. So how they work that, I'm not quite sure. I don't know the political maneuvers that they pulled. So in watching this, let's read on a little further, and then I'll give you what it appears to me. Verse 6. So we got Persia, Ethiopia, Libya now in, let's call them allies now with Russia, with a hook in her mouth, coming down into Israel. So Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. So we've got Persia over there at Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, that's parts of North Africa. Gomer and all his bands. And Gomer eventually becomes the Celtics, which are the Irish, the British, the Scots. But back in the early days, Gomer was entirely a group who settled by the Black Sea. So we begin to get a little different picture. Now, this is the map that I used the other day when I preached on Gog and Magog. And I was trying to point out to you what's happening here. So here's all of this, including the yellow, was the USSR. But now it's changed to the Commonwealth of Independent States, the CIS. And then this part in yellow represents the areas that have broken free and are now, quote, independent states. Then I found another map that I got a hold of that shows the same basic layout, but it begins to spread it out just a little bit with some of the new names. And so here we have the Commonwealth of Independent States. This is all Russia in this color here. And then I can't pronounce all of these things, but Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and all these different little colors, these were parts of Russia until this recent breakaway. And so now here's the Black Sea over here. And so the people of Gomer, they settled all in this area in Bulgaria, Romania, and coming on up into the Ukraine and up into Belarus and possibly over this way, but they indicated mostly on this side of the Black Sea. And so here's all this group lying in here, which is still tied with Russia and as a commonwealth of states. And as you know, there's still great debate on what are we going to do with the military. So they're still linked together. And as they are linked together, it's easy to see how they could be pulled together. Now, but here's what I'm seeing, that it isn't maybe necessarily a pulling together of they all love Russia, but rather just think back now what's happening in the world. And we look at what happened in Iraq, and our Saddam Hussein episode, and we find that America contacts the United Nations. The United Nations calls a vote of their people. They all vote. Let's put sanctions against this country. And so then led by America, and then we, quote, have these allies under the banner of the United Nations to come in and set this thing straight and set Kuwait free. Now, all the scripture indicates that Israel is going to be a troublesome land for everybody in that area, and it all already is. And they're all saying you need to give this land back to the Palestinians from Jerusalem all the way over to Jordan, and Israel says, no way, we're not about to do it. We need it for our own security. And so we have been allies with Israel, but it appears we're moving a little bit because we too are putting pressure on them to give it up. And so there is a possibility that we may not hold that sweet position we've held with Israel too much longer. But so far, we're still doing it, even though we've held back a little on some loan money, trying to put pressure on them. But if we have not severed relationships and the United Nations sanctions Israel and says, you are to give that land back, at this present stage, America would not be quick to step forward and say, okay, boy, we're going to use our missiles. We'll do what we did in Iran. They'd say, hey, wait a minute, United Nations, okay, if everybody votes that way, we'll vote that way too, but we'd like to stay out of this. And so Russia raises her hand and says, we'll head it this time. And then under the United Nations banner, here comes Russia and all of her satellite countries that are in here, and down they come, and everybody that'll work with her. So we see that there is a possibility that, and then of course some of them are going to join just because they want to get their hands on Israel and think that they'll welcome all the help they can get kind of thing. And so they're going to come down, and as we read in Scripture, he says, I'm going to gather you, but you're going to be chastened one more time for the way you've defiled my land. We read that already. So here comes that chastening before Armageddon, because that winds it up at Armageddon. And so before Armageddon, and so here comes that chastening hand, and here comes Russia with her satellites, and then we begin to see what's going to happen here. Excuse me, I'll wrap it up fairly quickly now. Now we're still in Ezekiel 38, verse 9. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, with many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Remember, Brother Branham said, keep this in mind, when Russia goes for the oil, I have seen several articles that the world's greatest deposits are under Israel. They're extremely deep, and they're working their way down. But the world's greatest deposits. Whether that'll tie in or not, I don't know. It may or may not. I don't know. Because why go for potential oil when you've got plenty of people that's already pumping oil? Verse 11, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. Desolate places now inhabited. That's exactly what's happening in Israel. I just wish every one of you could have made a few visits there over the last 15 or 20 years. It is absolutely astounding what they've done with that land. Just almost like unbelievable. If you got 5 years between visits, it is so transformed. More trees, more bushes, more green, more farms, more irrigation systems, more. It's just turning from a desert to a beautiful, beautiful farmland. Just what was barren sand is now becoming green and plush. It's just absolutely astounding what they've done. And of course, the planting of the trees, the forests are all being restored. So they're going to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. You can't hardly look anywhere in that part of the world where desolation has been turned to habitation in any great quantity except Israel. And upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. All right, so there's the same thing. So the settlements that have been created in Israel are the people gathered out of the nations and have settled down there. So they're going to say, we're going to take a spoil. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? Verse 16. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. So notice the compound use here. He's bringing Russia down as a tool, one little last spanking on Israel before the whole the nation turns to Christ, or during that time. And then... But then not only just to bring Russia down, but to say, I'm going to be sanctified because of what we're going to read after this, what he's going to do in that battle. Verse 18, and it shall come to pass at that time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord, that my fury shall rise up in my face. Verse 21, and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands, upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee back and leave but 1/6 of thee, and will cause thee to come up against the north parts, and bring thee upon the mountains, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand. I will cause thy arrows to fall out of their right hands. So their weapons are going to become almost useless. They can't handle them as they ought to. And then the next part goes into the fact that they're going to be, verse 12, in 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying them, that they may cleanse the land. And then it says, as the passengers, we'll read verse 11, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the side, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Haman Gog. And so there's going to be such a destruction of all the multitudes coming down, only 1/6 will return back home. And so again, based on the story of the Battle of Armageddon, there's almost a total annihilation at Armageddon. And ain't nobody going back home to recuperate after that one, because right after that, we enter right into a millennium. So so that's why we're placing it now, this side of Armageddon, probably between the rapture and Armageddon, possibly this side, but for sure on the other side, because we still have that prophetic when Russia goes for the oil. So we see that Russia still has a great part to play. And because a prophet has nailed down, thus saith the Lord, those three isms will all come into the one. Nazism, fascism will all blend into communism. Communism will be a tool in the hand of God for inflicting judgment upon the God-rejecting nations. Every dictator that's risen up so far has leaned to communism. And then now we know that, I'm putting together now from last time, we know that Catholicism and communism are going to have a bond of some kind. And we also find in Daniel and in Revelation 17 that there are going to be 10 kings, 10 men who will rule as kings, dictators, who will give their power to the beast system, Catholicism, for a period of time. Then they shall hate the whore and burn her with fire. And so here now, all these satellite nations, most of the men being placed in those countries are Catholic men being placed as their leaders, and yet linked with Russia, which is still underlying linked with communism. And so it appears that the whole thing is being set in order. Now, to bring out the other side quickly so we can, so you'll be fully informed. Almost, well, of the books I read this last 10 days or 2 weeks, they're all tying the European common market nations that are tying together, and this is the year when they blend. They're tying them as the new Roman Empire. And they have totally missed the thus saith the Lord, you know, of what's happened on a spiritual level. And so they're bringing all these common market nations as the revived Roman Empire that will now become the economic force in the world and will become the dominating factor, and that the beast system will work through this united common market. And then, but to show you how they're trying to put it together, listen to this. And they said, now we notice that in the battle when Russia comes down, that Persia is one of them. Excuse me, Iran is one of them, and that was Persia, and Persia was one of the world powers in years past. Correct. And they said, and they're represented out of Daniel 7 by the lion, the bear, and the leopard. Remember that. And then they reach over and they say, now look, Iraq is rising up into power, former Babylon. And here they are becoming the eyes of the world, first not Iraq. And that's former Babylon, so there's the head of gold, the lion. And then now they say, look, in the European common market nations, they said the one little nation that had almost nothing to offer was Greece. And yet they wanted to become part of the European common market, and they're only going to be costly. They've got nothing to add to the system, really. They says, but they had to be accepted into the European common market system because Greece was the leopard. And so it says, now the lion, the bear, the leopard are all going to pull together under the European common market nations. I can't remember how they were tying in Persia and Iran, but somehow they were going to get them. And it says they're all now going to be tied together in the European common market. And you see how they're struggling to get everything put together. But if they could have only heard, thus saith the Lord, it's so simple. So simple. So again, I rejoiced that God has sent us what he's sent us and given us the grace to walk with what he's given us and walk in that truth. Pardon this one for being such a college class this morning, but I didn't know how else to bring it out. I just wanted you to see it in the scripture, and it was kind of much, much more reading than we normally do. But I wanted you to see it, and also wanted to almost forewarn you, because so many of the things out there are all getting the eyes off of the real thing. It says, don't fear communism and don't fear the European common market. Watch Catholicism. Watch Rome. That's where it's coming from. And all these systems, they'll jump over and touch on Rome. Almost every article I read jumped over and touched on Rome, but jumped right back off again and got it onto the European common market. And so they're missing it. Just missing it. But without this saith the Lord, no telling what we'd be coming up with too. You know? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, it's your word, though it was delivered a little bit maybe dry this morning, but it's your word anyway. And so God, take it. Let us hold on to it, Lord, and not be deceived one iota in any direction from the world that's going. Keep our eyes on the path of where you said the real enemy is. Not the one that can destroy the body, but the one that can destroy soul. Not the one that can hinder our natural food, maybe possibly, or maybe our automobiles, but the one who tampers with the food for the soul. So Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves again to you. God, we ask that you continue to unveil yourself to us. Heal our pastor, Lord. Raise him up. God, may your anointed word be quickened to him that this is the day that by your stripes he's healed. For God, we know that just as you've done with Israel or you're doing with the bride, that at any time you can quicken what's laying there. God, we're asking for the quickening to come. He believes your word. He's resting on your word. But God, you have to quicken it. We long to see him back in full swing, Lord, for your glory, for the benefit of the church and the kingdom. And Lord, we too desire to be in our full place. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. functioning body for the glory of God. Amen. Not for your sakes have I done this, but for my name. Hallelujah. 164. What a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing to be saved from sin and peace within, to be made a joint heir with Jesus my King. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing to be saved from sin and have peace within, to be made a joint heir with Jesus my King. What a wonderful one. Sing it again. What a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing to be saved from sin and have peace within, to be made a joint heir with Jesus my King. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank God I am free, free, free. 105. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sank low. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way.